Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. I'm Jennifer Schell, and I'm a graduate student from University of Washington. And today, I would like to share with you all some preliminary results from the development and validation for a process-based crop simulation model developed by our lab, specifically for Hartnick garlic. And So for today's presentation, I'll start out with a brief introduction. I'll go more into detail about the model structure, and in the end, I will show some results for the model validation. So why did we want to have this simulation model for garlic? This is actually a part of a larger project that had the aim, that the goal was to, it was funded by the Korean government, and the main goal was to develop a agricultural decision support system that incorporated several crop models, and based on the results from the crop models, they were able to, they wanted to provide growers with information of the crops. So here is a table showing garlic production in different countries in the world. And even though garlic may not be considered one of the most important crops, but it is in this table, you can see that it is important in several Asian countries such as China, India, and South Korea, and that's one of the reasons why this was one of the crops that they wish to focus on for this project. So for the model structure, it's pretty similar to how most of the process-based crop models are built. This is a diagram showing a simple relation structure of how these crop simulation models work. So basically, by incorporating the environmental factors such as CO2, temperature, and radiation, the model starts out simulating photosynthesis. The carbon gain is then moved on to a temporary carbon storage of the assimilate pool. After considering respiration, here maintenance respiration and growth respiration, the actual carbon that is available for growth is then passed on and partitioned into different plant parts. Here, the leaves, stem, root, and fruit, and the fruit in this case would be the bulbs of the plant. This is the carbon partitioning part. So, this is basically the carbon flow of these models. But another important part is the development rate, since what these models are trying to do is to simulate a dynamic growth process. For the development rate, it allows us to know how fast the plant's growing and what the current stage the plant is in. This process is tightly linked with temperature, and that's how we get this phenology timeline, which is one of the most important first steps to start out with these crop models. So how we simulated this phenology timeline, we used a beta function that basically simulates the leaf tip appearance rate, and this is a function tightly linked with temperature. And so with this timeline in mind, looking at what happens at this a certain point within this whole simulation process, what the model is trying to do is starting out simulating leaf photosynthesis carbon gain and scaling that up to a whole plant level by considering the phenology, basically meaning what the stage of the plant is in and how much leaf area exists at that time point, and also by considering self-shading effect caused by scaling up from a single leaf to a whole canopy level. So after calculating the whole plant carbon gain, the carbon is eventually partitioned to different plant parts. So that is basically a simple structure outline of how these models work. And for the model validation part, this garlic model has been developed by previous researchers and students in our lab. So the structure is already there, all the programs also there. been developed based on previous greenhouse and field experiments. However, this model wasn't actually validated with actual field results yet, meaning that we don't really know how well it actually works in real-world conditions. So that was one of my main goals from the past year, is to generally see how the model worked. So here, what I mean by model validation is basically simply comparing the model output with field results, actual field results. So I designed a simple experiment to test the model. I incorporated two cultivars of heart and garlic. The first one is Korean Mountain, and it'll be referred to as KM. The second cultivar, Shantan Purple, SP. And other than the two cultivars, there was also, I also chose two planting dates. The first one is the end of October. The second one, mid-December. So the color coding I have here is the pinkish color for Korean Mountain, the purple and bluish color for Shantan Purple, and the darker color for the first planting date and a lighter color for the second planting date. And this color coding will be consistent throughout the further graphs that I show. So there are three parts of the model result that I would like to share with you all today. The first is how the model did with phenology. The second, how it did with whole plant leaf area simulation, and the last, whole plant biomass. So starting with phenology, here is a graph showing the simulation and actual comparison of the model. On the left-hand side is for Shantan Purple, the right-hand side for Korean Mountain. Both planting dates are shown within the graph. And on the x-axis here is the date, which you can basically see as the timeline. Y is the leaf number. The lines here are simulated results from the model, and the open circles are actual data collected from the field. And you can see for Shantan Purple, here I just wanted to label the actual time that of the two planting dates, the first planting date here and the second planting date here. So for these graphs, you can see that basically the model did a pretty good job for Shantan Purple. The overall pattern was captured. However, for Korean Mountain, there was a lag in time of the the model actually simulated a much earlier leaf appearance. And that is not unexpected, since when the model was built, different cultivars, cultivar difference was not really considered. And that's kind of the reason why we wanted to actually validate this with different crops, different cultivars. As for a whole plant leaf area, you can also see the Shantan Purple and Korean Mountain. There was a overestimation in both cultivars and planting dates, and a more specific, an even more obvious overestimation in Korean Mountain, and also a discrepancy within the timeline of Korean Mountain, which can be linked back to the inaccuracy of phenology for the previous slide. As for whole plant biomass, we can also see that there is an overestimation, which is linked to the overestimation of leaf area. So just based on the simple experiment, we can see that there's actually cultivar difference and planting date difference that the model isn't well capturing, and it wasn't really considered when we developed the model, and now we see that, and based on this simple validation, there are some limitations of the model, and there are several parts that can be improved by the model, but today I just wanted to focus on one point, which is the leaf area simulation part. So back to this graph. We see an overestimation in both cultivars and planting date. And so I was thinking, what could be a better way to improve this leaf area simulation? I looked at the field data that I collected for leaf area. And so this is On the x-axis is individual leaf numbers and y is the leaf area. And you can see here that there's actually quite a difference between cultivar and planting date. And to take a closer look of what makes up leaf area is the length and the width, length on the left-hand side and width on the right-hand side. And we can see that for length, we see difference between cultivars, but the pattern is pretty much similar. However, most of the differences is caused by leaf width, which is not how we what we expected and not how the model was built to simulate leaf area. This model was modified by a model that was used to be used for maize, which basically has a pretty consistent leaf width relationship. However, this is not the case in garlic, and so to come up with a better algorithm that simulates the leaf length relationship and to have a more accurate leaf area simulation would be one of the first steps that can be taken to improve the current model. So just a quick summary, we've seen cultivar difference and planting date difference from the actual data collected from the field for garlic plants. And these differences can be seen in phenology, leaf attributes, and biomass. And so there is still room for improvement for the model, and there's still further work that needs to be done. I would like to acknowledge my advisor, Seohyun Kim, and my lab mate, Kyung Dong Yoon, and also the Rural Development Administration from Korea that partly funded this project. Thank you for your attention. I am planning to improve this, yes. This was just my first year results, and so now we have a better idea of what parts of the model can be improved, and that will be carried on to my second year experiment, yes.
When you compare the simulated results for the leaf area, did you calibrate the model, or you just use the default parameter for the
calibration? Yes. But we do have some inputs such as maximum leaf length and maximum growth rate that can partially adjust for the difference.
My question is, yes. Did you try to calibrate
that
leaf area with some parameter to fit a better curve, or you just use the default parameter?
We didn't really actually calibrate the model, so it's just using default values. Yes.
Do you have a method more than that to just store the field and just observe it, or is it emergence?
Emergence.
Yeah, more than that.
So the question was how we modeled the, how I observed the emergence,
yeah.
The emergence rate.
Or did the model simulate emergence?
Oh, the model actually simulates germination and emergence. So what I showed here, this is emergence. So actually, leaf appearing out of the ground, out of the soil that you can see. But the model also simulates germination. Yes. The process of how it's simulated. So we use a function called the beta function, and it's. I can show a more detailed. Okay. Sorry.
Those are the first in the back.
Is the leaf area index, or the area of leaves linked to the mass of leaves?
Is leaf area index related to linked to the mass of the leaf?
Linked to the
partitioning of So I don't think the model is so that sophisticated at this point, but leaf area index is considered for in order to scale up the model from a single leaf scale to the whole canopy to consider for self-shading effects. Yes.
Okay, one last question then, and then we'll go.
Jeff, it looks like there was a big lag in emergence for that second variety, the
yes.
And the leaves, and so was the leaf-width relationship wouldn't really affect that part of it. Is that an emergence thing that for the low predictive problem prediction of leaf number instead of a
tick variety? Yes, so for the second variety, Korean Mountain, the emergence rate was, there's a huge lag. I don't think that is completely due to leaf area, the leaf area problem that I showed in the end, but probably more of a cultivar difference, probably the optimum growth temperature is different for between these two cultivars, and that's not considered yet. So, yes. Thank you.
Okay, let's